Okay, you guys can head out. I want to tell you that the first song today is actually in the hymnals. And I put out, there's also, is it purple? What color is the, I have some paper, orange, there we go. So if you don't have a hymnal, there we go. If you don't have a hymnal, grab one of those orange sheets of paper and turn to song number, I've got it here somewhere. 236 in your hymnals, if you want to use those. We have the orange piece of paper. You want to clap, you can. Stand, you can. Whatever you do, let's just worship the Lord from your heart. Oh, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you
that it asks. And you know, one of the things I'm really excited about is just to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And I was talking to a guy and he was saying, you know, it was really interesting because for years and years and years I didn't come to Christ. For years and years and years I didn't want to become a Christian. And he said, because I didn't want to have to do all that stuff that Christians do. And he said it was really weird to find out that once you come to Christ, it's not because you have to do all this weird stuff, it's because you're a different person. God makes a change you, and changing you, and he becomes the king of my heart, and the king of my life. And so we just serve him, because that's our natural response to his love for us, recognizing he's so good. Oh Lord, let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom of my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good. Good, oh, you are good, good. Let the King of my heart
be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves.
Your life is starting to learn about God. And one of the things that has just become brighter every day for me is the recognition of God's honesty, His steadfastness, His perseverance, and His power. God will never let us down. And I just, as we just sing this again, just this part of it, "You're never going to let me down," I want you just to let that kind of grow in your life, even if we do it in volume. But recognize God's never going to let you. Anybody here, you got some big, heavy prayers? That you got some people in your family that have never come to Jesus? Maybe they're running out there just so far away. Just remember, God will never let us down. When we pray, when we come to Him, God is faithful to hear our prayers and answer them. So that's the basis of what this song is about. And if you're like me, you kind of start small in your faith. And then as you see God doing more, and you recognize His power, you see it even more and more. So we'll kind of build on the song there, but just let that, as I said, just kind of be hopefully instrumental in your life. If you want to stand, you can. If you want to sit, you may, whichever. But I just want to make this a time when we just come before God and recognize, sing this to God, and remind ourselves, "You are good. first, didn't he? Even when you're far from him, even when you didn't know him in any way, shape, or form. And today, believe it or not, God is so excited. This song starts, "He danced over me while I was unaware." It's a God knows your life. He knows what's going on, and he dances. He's excited about you. It's hard sometimes to think about God. It's kind of like the first time you saw the smiling Jesus. Have you seen that, the picture? Jesus with a smile. It was like, wow. To think about that. He loves us. He smiles. You dance over me. About his amazing grace. It's all given out to us. It's all pushed from his love for us. And he loved us. Oh Lord, in prayer this morning, we have a couple things that we really need to consider in prayer. how long it had, that she'd had it, and said, well, it's less than 48 hours. I said, why is that? He said, well, because in 48 hours, it'll kill you. So it is a pretty serious thing, and they've gone through, and she's going to be sedated for a week, so you won't even be able to visit her for a while. I'll let you know as we find out. So it's a pretty serious thing. Just keep her in prayer. Also, Todd Hasty, he's kind of declining right now and just needs a touch. His body's got cancer. He had been battling that for a number of years, and he's just having some rough times. This morning he was actually, this is a praise that Liz came by and asked me to share, was that today is at least he's recognizing people today and family members, so that was a plus because he wasn't really doing that very well. So again, as we go to the Lord in prayer today, God who is amazing, who is powerful and awesome. I like the, you know, it sounds kind of scriptural because it is. He's awesome in his power. And this morning we can experience that. The goal of church is to come and to worship God, but also when you get close to God, something happens, and that is that you change. And so I just would say this morning, don't resist what God is doing. Allow him make those changes in us that we need to make, that we become more Christ-like. So let's pray. Father, we come to you today. And Lord, as we come to you today, we come with great hope and expectation. Not because of us or clever words or flowery speech, but because we know who you are, God. You've revealed yourself to us, God. You revealed yourself to us in the power of even in the beginning, when you created all of the heavens and the earth, and you've shown us, we that live up here, you show us in that every day as the beauty and the glory and majesty of the morning start out, Lord, and we can see the beauty of just the creation around us, Lord. Father, as we come today, we're reminded of that God that has that kind of power, still is alive and able to move in our lives. Lord, as we come to you today, we pray for those today that are in hospitals, and especially Penny and Todd are among those, Lord. We pray that you would just touch their bodies. We also know that there are many folks today that are home today sick, and this flu going around. Lord, you're a God that is able to touch and to heal. We're in this world, and there are diseases and things that just kind of happen because we're in this world, but we're not of this world, because we have a hope that goes beyond this life and this world. And we also have a hope that in this world, while we're here, your power is still able to influence, your power is still able to do even above and beyond what we can ever ask or think. And God, healing is part of the provision that you've provided for us. And also you provide for us in areas of finance. We pray for families today that are having a rough time there. God, we just pray that as they're faithful to you, God, that you would just continue to bless them, God, and pour out your blessing even more than they can handle. We pray for relationships today, Lord, where so many times we just find ourselves struggling with this person that we love called our spouse, our wife, or our husband. And God, would you just pour out your love into those relationships? And the same thing, these children that are a fruit of our love, Lord, may we teach them and raise them up in this world in which they live that's so, can be so bad. May we teach them and show them and love them the truth of God and all that you have and all who you are. Father, as a congregation today, we would come and pray for this nation. Lord, we again would come and pray for our president, for all of our elected officials, federal, state, and local. We pray all the way down the line, God. We pray that there would be a great revival as these people in positions of leadership would come to know you, Lord God. That they would come to realize Jesus Christ in their heart as Savior and Lord. God, would you bless them and reach out into their lives? Lord, that you might use them in their positions where you have placed them, because you bring nations up and you set them down. You take leadership and raise them up. Lord, may they see and understand that they have a huge responsibility, first and foremost, to you for all that there is and all that they do. God, may you bring revival to this land, to this country. Lord, as we pray, as we take on 100 days of prayer and fasting, Lord, would you just use this to, again, draw us close to you, that we might experience your power. power in your life as we've never experienced that before. Father, we do pray. We ask God, we beg God for forgiveness for this land. We pray that you would forgive all of the immorality and all of the wrong choices and wrong actions, God. Oh, Lord. May we find a place, because your word tells us when we repent, when we come to you, that you're there to meet us, that you are there to forgive us, and that you're there to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh God, may we find that place today. May we see a great revival. That's all I can call it. Lord, I'm amazed. Said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Again, we're glad to have everybody here today. I'm really excited today. The staff in this church, whether we're pastoral staff or whether everybody else, I consider it a real honor just to be able to be a pastor. Would you just turn and look at some folks for just a second? Don't even have to say hi or smile if you want. But you recognize those are some of the greatest folks you'll ever meet in your whole life? Don't raise your eyebrow at me. You know, they are some awesome folks. And God has called us together to be part of his family and represent him. And as I think of our staff, you know, Pastor Ken, he's coming to speak here in just a minute. And I just want you to recognize that God is doing a work. We need to continue to remember that. He's doing something incredible and fantastic. So, Pastor Ken, come and speak.
Awesome. How you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Did anyone get less sleep last night?
Yes.
I feel like I'm running on about 4 hours right now, which is absolutely awful.
So
but
your sermon should be 1 hour shorter, right?
Oh, well, then we're already over, right? But it was worth it. Melissa and I got to go out on the town, and we stayed out way too late, but it was a lot of fun. It's always the woman, that Eve, man. But anyhow, the title of the message, and it's really exciting, so just to give you a little background on how this came about, I'm normally up here banging on the guitar and making your ears bleed as we worship. And we were all set to go for another week of amazing worship. Was worship awesome today, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty darn good. Good job, Mark. And he used to do worship. Would you believe that? But I was all set to go, and then Mark goes ahead, and he sends me, and she goes, hey, how about you preach this Sunday? And I'll do worship. I'm like, okay, sure, why not? And it was kind of cool. For a lot of reasons. One being, just lately, what God's been placing on my heart over the last month. It's really been wrestling with it and taking shape, and I've been sharing it in little bits and pieces here and there, from Wednesday nights to Sunday morning, Sunday schools, to the little bits that I get to throw in there when I'm holding the guitar. So this was just an opportunity to be able to really kind of share the vision that God has basically really placed on my heart, and it really flows in line with the vision that Mark and the board have set up as the vision for 2019 of where this church is going. And it's neat how God does that, right? God starts something, and then it daisy chains, right? You just see these links keep attaching and keep attaching and keep attaching. And that's God. That's God at work, and it's pretty amazing. So the title of the sermon today is, I was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see. And it's about laying a foundation for growth. Laying a foundation for growth. The bottom line of this church is?
Growth.
Growth. What in the world does that mean? Don't know. What are we talking about when we say the bottom line of our church is growth? Are we talking about we want to see all these chairs filled? Yeah. Or are we talking about we want to see a bigger building go up so that we can pack more people in here? Yeah. But is that really what we're talking about,
nice,
when it comes to growth? You see, growth, before you can grow out, you have to grow deep. When we say the bottom line of this church is growth, we're talking about a depth. We're talking about taking it deeper. It's not simply go out and invite folks to our church and let's fill in the chairs. It's got to be more than that, right? Because if we invite a whole bunch of people into our church and we have nothing to give them, what have we done? A good thing or a bad thing? We've done a bad thing. We've done a disservice for the kingdom. We've actually been a hindrance to them coming to the Lord. It's like calling in a bunch of people just to waste away. We have to drive deep. Luke 8, 11 through 15. If you have your Bibles, you can turn it in. I'll be reading out of the NASB just because that's what I always, always, always teach out of. It's just a weird thing that I have, that I am. But up there, NIV is what I put on the screen for you guys, just because the King James uses a lot of these and thous and stuff, and I didn't want you guys to just completely glaze over on it. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Think of a tree. As a tree grows, what happens if a tree just grows straight up and has no root? It's going to fall, right? Say it takes root a little bit, and the tree grows up, and it starts to build this pretty canopy, right? Oh, it's a nice tree. And then the storm comes. What happens? It falls over. But how did God create trees? As they grow vertically, guess what they're doing? They're growing in depth. As they grow out, guess what they're doing? They're growing in depth, and under the ground, they're spreading out. I put a couple quotes up here. One from the Colorado State University. Most tree roots occupy an area to four times the diameter of the crown. Iowa State University, roots may occupy an area 4 to 7 times the surface area occupied by the crown of the tree. So when you go outside and you look at a tree and you go, oh, that's a pretty big tree, you're seeing the smallest part of it. What's really the tree is going way out. We used to go to Calaveras Big Trees in California and go walking through the forest and the woods. And they have these booklets that you could go in and you talk about all these old, incredibly humongous redwood trees. And then you would say, now think about where the roots are. They're so far away from this tree, and all these trees in the forest are all intermingling and strengthening one another, so when the storm comes, the weak tree will have that added support from the other trees that are also there. And it's a web that they're weaving. Isn't that the body of Christ as well? As we grow deeper, our roots spread out. They intermingle with other trees out here, and they grow deep. And then, and only then, the canopy starts to spread. So we say, the bottom line of this church is growth. That has to start with depth. It has to start with us digging deeper It does no good to just go out and be an inviting church. So, verse 15, it says, the seed and the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest, good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Why with perseverance? Well, what happens in a drought? Things got die off, right? What happens in the storms? A lot of gets broken and a lot of damage happens, right? But with perseverance, you keep bearing that fruit. It is telling you it's going to get tough. Life is going to happen to you. Don't think when you come to Jesus it's all rosy, you know, and glorious. Although it is rosy and glorious if your perspective is right. But life isn't going to stop. In fact, if anything, you become a target. Because Satan's out to get you all of a sudden. He wants to mess up your faith. He wants to cause you to doubt. He wants you to be that seed that falls in the thorns. Falls on the rocks, right? And then you fall away. What's the mission statement? I've said it a couple times. The theme for 2019. I hate theme. That's why I said mission statement. What is our mission statement for 2019? One person knows it. It's a good thing you do know it. Becoming an inviting church. Why do we want to become an inviting church? Save souls, others to know the Lord. Growth. We want to grow. If we don't invite, we don't grow, right? The bottom line of this church is growth. Our theme is to become inviting. It's all about growth, spreading our canopy. It's natural. If we aren't an inviting church, if we're a stagnant church, what happens? We die. We die off. We become ineffective. We're useless. If we're not moving forward, we're moving backwards. There is no standstill. To stand still is to move backwards. I look at a lot of churches, and our church included, in many ways, I think we as Christians get comfortable. And we get into our areas of comfort, and change is hard. Change is scary. Change means taking those steps forward and not really knowing what's going to happen on the other side of those steps. It's being maybe willing to fail. We might need to trust God enough to take the steps knowing that we could fail. Because is it really trust if we know that there's no chance we can fail? There's nothing to trust. And when that becomes our faith, it becomes really narrow and very small. Because now we're limiting God and we're limiting what God can do. So, what does this look like? What is becoming an inviting church and growth going to look like? And this is where it gets really exciting for me. We've been reading this book, Deep and Wide. How many of you started to read it maybe? I won't ask you finish. So, you started to read this Deep and Wide book, and this is kind of the direction that we're looking at this church kind of maneuvering as we look to impact our community. And I'm going to be totally honest with you guys. I hated it. Amen. Hated it, hated it, hated it, hated it. That meant change, and I hate change. And a lot of change is an automatic red flag on because you guys all know I hate religion. And it drives me crazy. So anything that has the sense or the semblance of a religious, traditional, whatever, I automatically go, I want nothing of it. What drew me to Idaho City Christian Center was the authentic realness of people here. That's why I'm here. It's because I came to the doors and I saw a people that loved God. And I said, that's the church I want to be part of. I don't want the show. I want the family. So I was struggling with this whole change thing. And I was praying about it, and we were talking in our Wednesday group a little bit about it. And finally, God literally spoke to me. And I just had this vision. And it's crazy because I am a conservative Christian. And when you start saying the word visions and stuff like that, that kind of freaks my conservativeness out a little bit. But God really revealed to me this vision and this concept of, and I saw Idaho City Christian Church, passionate, burning on fire, every seat in here packed, the doors, people in that 3F out there because we couldn't fit them and we didn't have a building big enough to hold everybody. We're blowing the doors out. Our community lit for Jesus. Going into our community center and having church in our community center, in our parks, and people unabashedly, passionately raising their hands up in worship and surrender before God Almighty. I saw Idaho City Christian Center starting something that spread all through Boise Basin that started impacting Ada County and Boise City. And it all started right here in Idaho City. And I told Melissa about it. I'm like, this is crazy. And I said, it's going to happen this year. This year is the year. It's going to happen. And I'm convinced of it. And my wonderful wife goes, I love your passion and zeal, but don't have your heart broken and be disappointed either. And I said, I'm not going to, and it's going to happen. I'm believing in it. And I'm not a believing and claiming type guy, but I believe God's going to move, and he's going to move beyond my wildest, wildest dreams.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Good.
It won't be a program. And it won't be a will to accomplish that makes it happen. I cannot force it to happen. So how? How is it going to happen? It's going to start. It's going to start. And it's going to start with worship. That's easy coming from the worship pastor, right? Here's my plug for the worship pastor. It's going to start with worship. But what do I mean by that? What do I mean? It's going to start with worship. Worship is at the core of everything. Absolutely everything. It's at the core of growth. Worship is at the core of being inviting and having something worth inviting to. Worship is the start. Worship is the end of everything we need to be. Worship is like the match that sets the forest on fire. That's worship. And why is it so important that we understand worship? That we become worshipers? Because until we become a church of worshipers, we're superficial. We're religious. We're fake. If we don't become worshipers, we're never going to reach our community. Ever. That vision God gave me will be a dream that will never happen because we don't worship. It's so important. So let's evaluate a little bit. And I hate evaluating. And I was telling my Sunday school class this morning, I hate evaluating so much because most of the time when I evaluate, it points back at me. It reflects the leadership. And so I hate having candid evaluation times. How do we worship here at Idaho City? Is it the music? Do we have pretty good music? Better say yes. Yeah. What? Is it the sermons?
Yeah.
Is it our prayer time? Is that our worship? What do we consider our worship? What do we consider our worship service? Is it hands up, lifted high? Is that worship? Is that our worship? Are we worshiping when we get the hands up? Maybe when we take our knees, is that worship? Now are we worshiping? Hands up and knees. Oh my goodness. We're really worshiping. How about dancing? If I go nutty up here and I start twirling around dancing, Or my daughter Haley does it with such grace and comes up here, and you'll be seeing her again come Easter and dancing before the Lord to worship music. We're going to be having worship flags. Woo! Going crazy. If people want to use them in worship. Is that worship, though? Part of it. Those are parts of worship. Well, why do we sometimes, or maybe even all the time, not worship? What are some of the things that cause people not to worship in their mind? Well, I just can't relate to that music. The music's bad. These are things I get to hear as a worship leader. Well, what if they don't know the songs? Well, they can't worship if they don't know the songs. What if people around me see me being a weirdo worshiping? I don't want that. Worse, what if they hear my voice? What if they find out that you're a nut? And all of a sudden you're self-conscious. You're intimidated. Worship seems unusual, unnatural, abnormal. Maybe you come in the doors and the burdens of life are just weighing on you and you can't worship. Maybe you just have a lack of faith. Maybe you just really don't know God. What are the things that keep us from worshiping? I think we've got it all wrong. All of it wrong. What is worship? What is worship? Because worship is meant to be natural, right? Worship is our response to what God has done. It's our response to something that's already happened and is continuing to happen. That's what worship is. It's what you were created for. Even people that don't know God, you know that they worship God, and they don't even know they're worshiping God. They were created to worship God. So whether they like it or not, they're worshiping God. It's amazing. Yet, to many and to the Christian church, it's become a foreign and unnatural concept, this idea of worship. Well, why is that? Well, in the beginning, there was worship. Adam and Eve shared perfect communion with Almighty God. They were absolutely in worship, just as they were created to be. Satan wiggled in there, right? The devil got in and he stole it. And that's what he does today. He steals it. He steals our first loves. He blinds our eyes so that we can't see. And when we can't see, guess what? He impacts our worship. Because worship is a response to what God's doing. Matthew 24, starting in verse 9. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Did you catch that? Many will fall away. That means they knew of God. They knew God. They will fall away from God, and the people they once loved, they will hate them. They will betray one another, hate one another. Many false prophets will arise. They'll mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures, perseverance, remember, the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This is the sign, this is the end. This is what awaits us in our world. Flip forward to Revelation. Chapter 2, starting in verse 2. I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. You've done your religion well. That's what he's saying. But I have this against you. you have left your first love. You've left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you've fallen and repent and do the deeds at first. And it continues on to say, if you don't, I'm going to take away your lampstand. I'm going to snuff you out. I got a video clip I want you guys to see. And it's along this whole mindset of your first love. So you can kill the house lights so that we can see it better and enjoy it. Torn between two clips. My girls helped me pick it out because the first clip I was showing was just, she said, everyone's going to fall asleep because it was that moment when the back doors open and I was up there and there was Melissa, wedding dress and all. And I'm there in front and I'm rocking. And I'm rocking and I'm smiling so big. And in the video, all of a sudden you see me go, because it was hurting. I had to take a breath. Because I was just so fixed on the love of my life. It's no different. You know, you guys, remember when you guys were married. Maybe it wasn't exactly the same as mine. But there was excitement, I'm sure. There was joy. There's craziness surrounding it. You know, one of the biggest dangers in marriage is forgetting. And you forget the reason you guys fell in love in the first place. You know, keeping that fresh, remembering your first love, it's important in your marriage, it's important in your life. You can go ahead and throw that next one up there. These are all my babies when they were born. Itty bitty, Ashley. Haley, Chub Chub, Trevor, Hunter. And each one of those times, gazing into the face of my baby, it's like nothing that I'll ever, ever forget. And at that moment, when you're there in that hospital, gazing into that face of your child, there's words don't describe it, and unless you've been there, you just really don't get it. You, at that moment, are like, I love this thing. And I will do anything for them. I will guard them. I will protect them. I will raise them. I will love them. And I cherish all my children. But so often, you look at broken homes, and what happens? Parents forget the little cute kid. All of a sudden, they're little punks. And they're just waiting for them to get out of the house. And they forget a lot of times that innocence, that first moment of, I love you. Yeah, blood is thicker than water in a lot of cases. And even the punks, they come back. And we love them still. But it's all about that whole sense of remembrance. Who is your first love? You know, we exalt those things that we love, don't we? I love my kids. I'll praise them all the time when they do good things. I love my wife. I'll let the whole world know how much I love my wife. She's amazing. She's gorgeous. Her heart is so pure. Her cooking has come so far. I love her to pieces. You see what I just did there with my wife and my kids? I elevated them. I praised them before you guys. In a sense, that's worship. It's a reaction to who they are and what I've seen in them. It's natural response of having that first love. And worship is a natural response to seeing God. Seeing God. Even just a glimpse. You see, worship goes way beyond the religion. It's not the knowledge. It's not the identification with the church. It isn't even a choice. You don't get to choose to worship God. If you've seen God, you will worship God. Period. If you've experienced God, you will worship God. If you're not a worshiper, you haven't seen God yet. At least not enough. You just don't know Him. Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, may be opened. Open the eyes of their hearts, Lord, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? It's all about seeing God. So are we worshipers? Well, that depends. Do we know God? Have we seen God? It's not about the faith. It's not about the religion that I know God. I mean genuinely seeing God. I'm going to skip that verse that I was going to go so you can keep going. Let's take a look and just try to wrap your mind around some stuff here. Who is God? There you go. I'm going to throw that there. Is that God? That's Hollywood's version of God. Anyone here recognize it?
Yeah.
What's it from?
Star Trek.
Yes! We have another Trekkie here. This is Star Trek V, The Search for God. And they found God. And this is Hollywood's version of God coming up on the screen. He ended up being a really bad alien. But this is what Hollywood paints God to be. And in so many of our heads, when we think of God on His throne, what do we think of? An old wise white dude with a big flowing beard, wise and sage looking. He is just. Because that's what Hollywood's painted God to be. You look at the Renaissance period, look at all the art. That's who God is. He's just wearing less clothes back then. You know? Yeah, don't look at Renaissance stuff. Not good. So I want you guys to take a real look, though, because we have to see God to worship, right? If our worship depends on seeing God, you got to get your mind around God. You got to see Him. Take a look at this next video here.
What you're seeing right now. First of all, this is the Earth, okay? Then just you're taking off from the Earth from Southern California. We're gonna rise up a little bit here, okay? We're gonna pull away from it. We're going to pull higher. Now, this is at about 10 kilometers. Like, if you climb Mount Everest, this is what you'd see. You'd see the curvature of the Earth from that distance. Now, we're going to climb up even higher. This is at 100 kilometers. And you're a fourth of the way to the space station now. This is what you'd see. If you get to this level, you're considered an astronaut. Just, if you ever get there. Okay, now, we're going 100,000 kilometers. 100,000 kilometers from the Earth, you're a fourth of the way to the moon, that's what the Earth would look like. Now we're going to pull away to 1,000,000 kilometers. At 1,000,000 kilometers, there's the moon, okay? There's the moon. You can barely see the Earth. You're at 1,000,000 kilometers now. You're past the moon, and now we're going to go to 100 million kilometers. 100 million kilometers. You're still not to the sun. The sun's 93 million miles away. But now we're going to go to 10 trillion kilometers. There's the sun. Okay. You just passed the sun. Now you would see all of the planets at 10 trillion kilometers. And now we're at 10 to the 15th power. That means 10 with 15 zeros. I don't know what that number is. 15 zeros. And the sun's just like a bright dot amidst other stars. And now we're going to 10 light years away. At 10 light years away, come on, let's go. Zoom, there you go. 10 light years away. Now you just see the sun with like 11 other stars that are kind of its neighbors. You know, that's our sun. And now we're going to go 1,000 light years away. At 1,000 light years away, you wouldn't even see our sun anymore. These are just a bunch of stars close to it in this cluster inside the Milky Way. Now we're going to zoom out even further, and that's the Milky Way we live in. See that cluster of stars? Those are about 100,000 stars that are closest to our sun. You can't see our sun anymore at this point. Now this is our Milky Way galaxy. Forget about the Earth. Okay, there's our Milky Way galaxy that we live in. And we're just buried in there somewhere. And we're going to pull out even further, and you'll see that our galaxy is actually, it's a big galaxy, and all those other things you're seeing now are galaxies. And we're going to pull away 10 million light years now. His next thing is 10 million light years. Those are all galaxies you see amidst our Milky Way, several hundred galaxies. Now we're going to go 100 million light years away. This is the last one. We're going to zoom out to 100 million light years. Those are all clusters of galaxies. Galaxies and clusters of galaxies. You wouldn't even see our Milky Way galaxy anymore amidst that. We don't have telescopes that go beyond that little sphere there.
Did you, on that last one, did you see yourself? You're not even a flea. You're not even an electron. When we talk about size and significance in the vastness of our galaxy. And God's bigger. He's bigger, and yet he's so deeply concerned with each flea that is in there. Every one of you. He's concerned with every hair that it is and isn't on some of your heads. He's so interested in each one of you. He wants to know all your joys, all your problems. Nothing is too small and insignificant for our God. And look at how big our God was. Our God is. You starting to get a glimpse of God? You starting to get a little perspective on God? He's not this Star Trek man on the throne like that. He's so bigger beyond your mind's comprehension. And you're so insignificant, but so precious and special to him. And that should bring you great joy. Roll the next one there.
Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name. By the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one of them is missing. What a God. He has called every star by name, and if Isaiah was moved by what he could see, what would he feel today knowing what we know?
I love what he said there. That was John Piper. And he said, if Isaiah was moved by what he could see, imagine if he could see what we see today. What he saw was such a small bit of what we're able to, through technology, to see today with our eyes. That's our God. That's how big, how incredible, how wonderful, how awesome he is. We sing that song, how great is our God, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Right? words to a song, or do you really understand it? Do you really have that mindset, that concept, that eye for it? What about, have you seen God at work? You know, we can all look at the glory of God in creation, the vastness of God and his immensity, but what about his working? I'm just going to, there's three miraculous movements in the news that I want to tell you about. This is the world saying, this was unexplainable miracle. God, see God in this. First one, you can throw it up there, was an 18-month baby girl. In March of 2015, Utah rescuers heard an adult yelling, "Help me," from inside a car that had crashed into the icy Spanish Fork River. When they raced to answer the call, they found 18-month-old Lily suspended above the freezing water in her car seat. Lily's mother had died in the crash, so there's no way she could have been the one calling for help. Lily was too young to talk, and she had been hanging upside down in her car seat for more than 14 hours and would not have survived much longer if it hadn't been for the mysterious voice. It's God. Next one. Ruby. That's Ruby. Ruby Grapera Casimiro died of complications. She died. That woman died during her C-section in September of 2014. Doctors tried to revive her, but after 45 minutes after they last had detected a pulse, they called her family in to say goodbye. Suddenly, her heart began beating on its own. She experienced no brain damage and soon went home with her healthy baby. Unexplainable. Next one is Gilliam. He's in the middle there. 7 years ago, my husband, Shane, who was a construction contractor and volunteer youth minister at Osage Baptist Church in rural Osage, Arkansas, called and said that our little boy, Braden, had been in a wreck and was in terrible shape. I asked if he would be okay. My husband said nothing, which alarmed me. Waiting for my parents to drive me to the hospital, I felt so helpless. I dropped to my knees and began praying. Then I started phoning everyone I knew and asked for prayer, and they called other people. When I arrived at the hospital, my husband was crying in a way I had never seen a man cry. He didn't want me to see Braden. When I did, it was terrible. His head was caved in on the right side. He had blood coming out of his ears, his eyes, his nose, and mouth. His pelvis appeared to be completely crushed. His catheter was full of blood, which means internal bleeding. The doctor told us the prognosis looked very grave and he might not make the flight to a big hospital in Springfield, Missouri. The thought of placing my baby on a helicopter by himself was just more than I could handle. The pilot asked if I wanted a ride, which they don't usually allow. I held my little boy's arm and prayed the whole flight that God would heal his broken little body. I told God I knew Braden was only on loan to me, but I wasn't ready to not be his mommy. I fully trusted God that he would take care of my boy. When we landed, everything was so fast-paced, I was put in a little room all by myself, and there I continued to pray. After an eternity, 40 minutes, the doctor came in the room, shocked. All the x-rays and tests had been redone, and my little boy didn't have a single broken bone in his body. No internal bleeding. He was bruised and banged up very badly, but the doctor said, "I can't explain what happened. I thought I was going to be telling you there was nothing we could do, but instead I get to tell you you were very lucky." We're not lucky, we're blessed. Our God saved our little boy. When we finally got to see him, his head was not caved in anymore. He did have to be bedbound for 2 weeks, but it was nothing we couldn't handle. When we went for a checkup, our family doctor cried, hugged Braden, said, "I prayed so hard, but I never thought I would see this little guy again. God is so good. Braden is our little miracle boy." Miracles still happen, guys. God still moves, but do we see it? Do we recognize it? Do we have eyes that see God at work? How about the personal God? God in your life. You know, we've all got to remember. I'm going to have Brett come up here in just a moment and share a testimony of remembrance with you all. But before he does, you skip to the next photo. I want to talk about this. This Friday. One of the stations that we're going to be doing, it'll be like nothing, this church won't even look the same. One of the stations is going to be a Stones of Remembrance station. That right right there. You guys know that song, O Come, Thou Fount of Every Blessing? Here I raise my Ebenezer. Ebenezer is not Scrooge putting up the staff. That's why I don't like old songs too much, because you got to explain every word. This is an Ebenezer. A stone of remembrance, of help, declaring what God has done. In your own life, you want to see God, look at your life. Recognize those times when God has moved in your life. It shouldn't be that hard. I can look in my life, I was telling Sunday school, it's why I'm so passionate about God, because I look at my life from when I accepted Christ at the ripe old age of 4, all the way through junior high and high school, declaring the word of God to 80-year-old women in a Sunday school class. They were awesome. I was like 14 years old. I have a passion for God because I've seen God. I've seen him at work in my family. Oh my goodness, I was going to have Melissa come up and share some things, but I'm not because of time. Remembrance. It's such an integral part of worship. Because we have to see God to know God. Brett, go ahead and come on up here.
Those were some pretty amazing stories there about miracles and the power of prayer and miracles. I've seen it. It's pretty amazing. I want to talk about Aspen. Have you guys ever been scared to pray? You're like, if I pray for change, what's going to happen? God's going to answer that prayer. What's he going to do? Well, when I found out that Krista was pregnant, I'm like, as the months went on and we're getting closer to the due date, I'm like, I'm just not feeling any passion, any love. I'm kind of nervous. God, give me some love for that child. I should. Maybe this is a man thing, but I need some love. I need to feel something. And so I prayed that prayer. God, fill me with love. And there we are in the hospital. I realized I need to put the mic on my chin after the service a couple weeks ago. So I asked God, fill me with love. So we're at the hospital, and Aspen's born. And I don't know if you're able to pull up those photos or not there. So Aspen was born. Here's Aspen. Pretty amazing. A little blue. Doctors come in. And you have this picture of you're going to hold your baby. And they handed Aspen to Krista. And about, felt like 10 seconds later, they jerk her away and take her out of the room. I'm like, what's going on? This isn't the way they do it in storybooks. And so they say, we got some problems. She's not getting oxygen in her blood. She's not doing well. We're going to life flight her. Well, I'm a cop. I deal with life flight a lot. Helicopter comes in, helicopter takes off. Been through a lot of tragic stuff, seen a lot of things. So I'm kind of numb a little bit to traumatic incidents. But not this time. I'm like, I'm starting to feel that emotion, that passion coming into my body. I'm like, oh my gosh, my child, what's going on? What's going to happen? Well, this took hours. Life Flight didn't come in and land, and we lived in Stanley, so we were at the Ketchum Hospital, and they wanted to transport her to Boise. Life Flight didn't come in and just land at the hospital. They brought in a fixed wing. So picture this, ambulance crew of the hospital in Boise goes to the Boise airport, gets on an airplane, flies to the Haley airport, gets on ambulance, drives to the Ketchum Hospital, takes hours to treat. Next slide. And they said, this is what we're going to transport Aspen in. Put her in this box, we're going to put her on the airplane, and Krista wasn't feeling very good at this point in time. She was kind of sick, and so I went with them and got on the ambulance, went to the Haley airport, got on the fixed wing. Pretty much I'm a basket case. I have all the emotion I can handle at this point in time, and then some. I am a mess. So God answered that prayer, and I don't think I really liked how he answered it, but boy, he got my attention, didn't he? So we land at the Boise Airport. As they're unloading Aspen, the nurse gets out and goes, hey, just want to let you know she had a seizure for about 6 minutes while we're in flight. Oh my gosh, that was terrible. So then we get transported to the hospital. One slide back, I think. So we get transported to, I just loaded these up. We get transported to the hospital, and there's Aspen in Boise at St. Luke's. And The doctors are all around her. Like, you can't see her. All you see is doctors and nurses piled around this table. And my parents show up, and I'm starting to have really bad thoughts. She's not going to make it. I get pretty emotional here. And so the doctors all come in. My parents show up, and they start praying. And we just get in a group. My mom, my dad, and me, and we're in a tight group. We're just praying. We're in the same room with this going on. It didn't look like that, though. And we're just praying. And we say, amen. And I mean, it was instant. Just instantly, the doctors all just, huh, everything's fine. She was, vitals were good. Everything was perfect. I mean, it was so, I don't think the word amen was out of our mouths when that happened. It was that quick. It was a miracle. Well, so this is a little bit later, and this took 17 days. I had 17 days of love and passion building in me for this child while she's in intensive care going through this. And they're like, oh, we got some abnormalities with her heart. Oh, her heart's fine. We got some abnormalities with the brain. Oh, her brain's fine. Everything, by the time we left, everything was just perfect. She's functioning just fine. And then nine months later, we're at just a regular checkup. And the nurse says, you know, things just aren't going along like they should. We want to do some blood tests. So he thought, well, all right, you're the expert. This is just a nurse. And they do these blood tests, and they come back, and they say, hey, your daughter, her fourth chromosome, the long arm of her fourth chromosome, between brackets 12 to 21.1, are missing. So she's got a chromosome deletion. And we're like, what does that mean? I mean, I'm searching every internet site I could to try to figure out what that means, brackets 12 to 21.1. And what I found out is that's extremely rare. So I started looking. There's some groups you can go to, some international groups for special needs kids and stuff. And I'm looking. I'm like, wow, this sounds really bad. Like, and then I found out there's like 10 kids maybe in the world that are known to have this deletion. 10. And there happened to be one in Boise. We started talking to this mother and stuff, and as Aspen developed, they said, yeah, she should be sitting up now. And so we started doing some things with her to sit up, and we prayed. Like, yeah, I don't know. The geneticists giving you this gloom and doom prognosis. And we prayed through the power of God, and only God can do this. As a kid in Boise with the exact same chromosome deletion is on a feeding tube, and they're not sure if he'll ever be able to really eat well or function in society, we have Aspen here, who, next slide. By the way, I put these slides together this morning. I thought it'd be more dramatic, so I'm a little off on my slide. So this is the passion, and then there's Aspen. Pretty awesome, our little masterpiece. So basically, you look at Aspen today, and she is amazing. Compared to what she could have been and what the prognosis was, I mean, and I want to kind of cap this off with, we moved to Idaho City to be closer to health services and stuff, which we really don't need. And I have been so impressed with the youth in this community and especially in this church and how they accept her and work with Aspen and her brother and how well Jonah does with Aspen. This is a phenomenal church, and you guys should all be really proud. I'm proud to be part of this church. Thank you.
So, that's called remembering. That's called remembering God move in your life. Maybe it's not as dramatic. Maybe it is. Maybe it's even more so. God is there. Worship is the foundation we're going to grow on. Worship is the key to the growth that we need, the key to becoming and inviting in church. Remembering, seeing, recognizing God is the key to worship. And once we do that, once we see God, there's going to be no holding us back. The forest is going to go up in flames. Our community, it's going to get changed. But it's going to begin with each one of us. It begins first on our knees. Praying. of worship coming out. You see, we can't comprehend this God that we're trying to see. You just can't. You're too small. You're a flea. You can't grasp that. But what you can do is you can grasp and see what he's doing in your life. You can see that. And when you see that, you see God. Here's my prayer for us. Here's my desire. Here's my passion. Get passionate, church. Get passionate for Jesus. Get passionate for God. When you come in here on a Sunday morning to worship, I pray that that's not the first time you're worshiping. I pray that's not the start of your worship. Because then you're doing the religion again. It's just the religion. Worship starts when you accept Christ, and it shouldn't stop again. You go out those doors, worship should continue in your life. People should see the change in you. And we're going to this year. This is the year.
Amen.
We're going to get a passion. We're going to set the forest on fire. We're not going to be in here very much. I hope you know that. I floated the idea, but I'm being a little bit more assertive right at the moment. We're not going to be in here. We're going to be out there. We're taking our church, we're opening the doors, we're going out into our community so that they can see that we're going to live Jesus in front of them. We're not going to come in here and hide the Lord and enjoy it all to ourselves. We're going to take it out there, and they're going to see our passion. When they see our passion, they're going to see our worship. When they see our worship, that's going to be the fire that ignites. And all of a sudden, they're going to see that you're different, and they're going to want to know why. And you're going to invite them. And then you're all going to come in these doors on Sundays, and we're going to say, where are we going to put all the people? And we're going to keep teaching them and growing them, and we're going to keep taking it deeper and deeper and deeper, because it's not about these butts and chairs. God's going to do that. I don't care about that. What I care about is that each one of you gets deeper in your faith, that each one of you really understands God, that each one of you really somehow gets that glimpse and develops that passion, because once it's there, everything else is just going to happen. It's the way God moves. It'll become an irresistible contagion. Invite people into a real, authentic, passionate relationship with your love of your life. I call Melissa the love of my life. God's the love of my life. Our verse for all of our relationship has been, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4. And I related in a lot of ways to her. I delighted myself in the Lord, and he gave me the desire of my heart. He gave me her. But the truth of the matter is, when you delight yourself in the Lord, he's your desire. And he'll give you more of him. And you'll see more of him. And you'll worship all the more. So I want on Friday, when we have praise night, I want as many people to be here as possible. And I want us to worship. This may be our worship as we contemplate the songs. This may be our worship as we bow our heads in prayer. This may be our worship as we lift our hands and surrender to God. This may be our worship as we sit down and we take a stone and a marker and we write down and we remember what God has done, and we take it home with us and we set it up somewhere where we will be reminded and see it and know that God moves in our life. Communion. That will be our act of worship for some people. As we go back there, we remember Jesus Christ and the sacrifice. Coming over here, worship will be sitting down with the Word of God in a blank piece of paper and meditating and praying and then writing down and journaling what God is revealing to you. This will be our worship when you pick up worship flags and you start spinning in the air, being a crazy lunatic worshiping before God, much as David danced before the Ark of the Covenant and was a crazy dude. This right here will be worship, as there's a microphone and people come and they testify. They prophesy. And I don't mean fortune tell prophesy. I mean prophecy is, in its very simple core, declaring the word of God. And so when people come to worship, we will have people moved to speak the word of God. To do like Rick did, come up here and share what God has done. All of that is worship. And yeah, I'll be up here screaming and making your ears bleed too. You know, but you see how worship is so much more? So much bigger? Do you see why I say we fall short? We fall short. And it's as much my fault as a personal responsibility that we each have to have. We need to find our first love and that passion and then let our worship just fly. Chad, go ahead and come on up here. That last song that we sang, Lord, I'm Amazed by You. Chad's going to go ahead and play that. While he's playing that, and this is another thing I want to see change in us as a church. We have the altars here. We come up to the altars all the time when we have burdens and needs, right? We're not ashamed to come to the altar, I hope. This is family. But do we return to the altars and praise? Do we return to the altars and have people come alongside us and just rejoice that God moved and God answered? Because that's just as important as making the request of God. And we talk at God a lot. And we call it prayer. But the most important part of prayer is silence. The most important part of prayer is to just sit and do nothing. Be still and know that He is God. Only a fool comes into the presence of a king with many words and flattery. The wise man comes in and stops and lets his words be few. When we come before God, we ask God, move in us, move in our lives. We need You, Lord. I need You. But then when He comes and He meets us, and it's amazing, do we come back and testify of it? Do we declare His goodness? Because as you declare Your goodness, and I'm up here, and Mark's here, and all of you guys are here, and you see the body of God saying, look what God did. You see God in that moment. And what happens when you see God? You worship God. We need to worship. We need it. We can't be a dead church. So right now, I'd like to invite the prayer team forward. And I'd like to invite the church forward. If you have a need, by all means, come forward with your need. But my passion is to see the body of Christ coming forward with praise. They've seen God. So as we sing this song, the altars are open. Feel free to come forward.
Never hear.
moment that you walk into their lives and everything changes. God, I thank you for this body, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we can stand in awe of you. I thank you for Breck, Lord. I thank you for his daughter, Lord. I thank you for everything that you've done. Lord, I thank you for how you've revealed yourself in our everyday life, our everyday moments. Thank you for my family. I thank you for your grace and your mercy in my life. That you love me. I am amazed. God, you're a great God. I ask and I plead, Lord, that you would open the eyes of every person here. Open their eyes to see you as I see you. Open their eyes to get a glimpse of your glory. Open their eyes to get a glimpse of the passion and zeal. Open their eyes to see that you love them more than they could ever know. That you care about them. That you desire them. Intimately desire them. Open their eyes, Lord. Open our eyes as a church, Lord. To have a heart that loves like you love. A heart that worships you because you are God and you are good and you are amazing and that you love us. Lord, open our mouths after our eyes can see you, Lord, to worship you. Lord, and open our mouths to go out and declare you boldly because the world just can't cork us up because we've seen the Almighty God. Your word tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that you are Lord to your glory. God, we know you will move. Whether we believe or not, we will declare your greatness and your glory. Because we will see you. Let us see you even now. God, we love you. God, we need you. Give us that passion. Lord, we love you.